read that together. And I think I have it up here too on the screen. I'm not sure if you don't have it in your Bible yet. We went back to the music. Okay. Well, anyway, he's coming. Oh, there it is. All right. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." A couple of things about that very passage, by the way. Amalek, who was the king of the Amalekites at this time, if you go back in the history books, you can't really find anything else about them anymore. Isn't that interesting? That's the way God is, all right? So as long as Moses had his staff raised up with his hands raised up, they won, right? And the reason, let me read this couple of paragraphs here real quick, and then we're going to get into this because I'm so excited. Anyway, I'm like a little kid at Christmas. I want to open this up. Anyway, ancient armies carried standards or banners that served as marks of identification and symbols that embodied the ideals of a people. A banner, like a flag, was something that could be seen from afar, serving as a rallying point for the troops before a battle. Though banners were first used in Egypt, Babylonia, Assyria, and Persia, the Israelites carried them on their march through the desert. Unlike fabric flags, ancient banners were usually made out of wood or metal and shaped into various figures or emblems that could be fastened to a bare staff or a long pole. Depicting birds, animals, or gods, they often glistened brightly in the sun so they could be seen from afar off. A banner carried at the head of an army or planted high on a hill served as a rallying point for troops before battle or as an announcement of victory had already won. Because they embodied the ideals and aspirations of whoever carried them, banners aroused devotion to a nation, a cause, or a leader. When Moses held up the staff of God or the rod of God in the battle with the Amalekites, he was holding it like a banner, appealing to God's power. By building an altar and naming it Yahweh Nisi, "The Lord is my banner," he created a memorial of God's protection and power during the Israelites' first battle after leaving Egypt. So, I'm going to take a little side note right here that's not even on your deal and talk about it for just a second and then come right back to it, okay? So you don't have to go anywhere yet. All right. Have you ever noticed that when something exciting happens or something victorious happens or something, just so thrilling happens, what do people usually do with their hands? Yeah. They always do that. They always do that. Now, what makes them do that? I believe there's an innate quality built inside of each one of us that knows that the real triumph doesn't come from us. It comes from above. It comes from above. You never see anybody when they win go, "Oh." They don't do that. I mean, it's just instinctive to lift your hands up. It's just instinctive. What it surprises me, though, is when we gather together as the body of Christ, if somebody does that, we think, that's weird. Why are people doing that, Because I think we kind of got brainwashed about the charismatic movement, thinking that we can't do any of that kind of stuff. it's all in Scripture. I mean, David raised his hand. People raise their hands all the time. And it's really awesome because it just reminds us that it's not from us. It's from Him. It's from Him. Anyway, that was a little extra there thrown in. All right. So, when this battle was going on, the Scripture says that when his hands started to come down, they started to lose. But when he kept his hands up, lifting up what? What was he lifting up? He was What was he lifting up? You were going to say it. The staff, the rod of God. That's exactly right. When he was lifting that up, the people could see it and they could remember that, hey, God's on our side. Actually, we're on his side. We are following him. This is the same rod that parted the Red Sea. This is the same rod that brought the judgment down upon the Egyptians. This is the same rod. We're going to follow the rod of God. All right? So as it's lifted up, Moses says, we've got to remember this. We've got to make sure that people remember that the power doesn't come from our armies. The power doesn't come from us as, in particular, very good warriors. Because honestly, the Israelites really weren't that great of warriors. But the victory comes from the one who is leading us, who we follow. And this is his banner. And it's being lifted up. So first of all tonight, I want you to see God's power. In our own personal lives, how does this apply to us? What do we use? Don't we tend to try, first of all, to do things in our own power? We don't just automatically say, God, I've got something coming up. I need your power. No, we try to get through it on our own. In fact, for some reason, we either think we could do it on our own, or we don't want to bother God. The sad thing is we don't have the power on our own, and God is never bothered when his children rely upon him. In fact, I can just imagine that God, with all the power that he has and not being confined by time, is looking at us and saying, when are you going to ask me? When are you going to look to me? You know why we don't look to him? Because we're not lifting him up. We're not lifting him up. You see, somewhere in the muddle of this life, we get so surrounded by this world that we forget where God is. And we don't lift him up. But when we get to the point of lifting him up regularly, we begin to see from his perspective. I remember many years ago I heard this awesome illustration about this man and his young son. He decided he would take him camping and fishing. So they went up to a lake way up in the mountains. When they got up there, they set up their tent, and they stayed up at night, and they made s'mores, and they just had a good time. And they were going to go fishing first thing in the morning. And so that next morning, the dad was out there cooking breakfast, and the son came out scratching his eyes, you know, and going, are we going to go fishing pretty soon? He said, yeah, but why don't we take a walk through the woods first and see all the wildlife that's out there? And the little boy said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So they began walking through the woods, and they were seeing chipmunks everywhere, and they were seeing all kinds of things. And in a little bit, the dad started thinking, you know what, I'm not really sure I know how to get back to the lake. But you know how dads are. They would never act like they didn't know, right? Because they don't want to worry the little boy, and plus they're trying to figure out where they are. And but after a while, it started to become obvious. The little boy said, Dad, are we lost? And he goes, oh, no, no, we're just taking a long walk, right? But then he started thinking to himself, you know what? If there was some way I could get up above the top of these trees, then I could see where the lake is, I could see where we are, and I could see how to get back. And that's the illustration of asking for God's wisdom, because God sees all things. He sees where we are. He sees where we need to be. He sees how we need to get there. But we tend to stay down in the trees, and we tend to not want to ask Him for some dumb reason. We tend not to ask Him. All we got to do is look up. Lift Him up and know that He's got all things in His power and His control. He alone has the power over all things. God wants us to learn to use His power on our behalf. Does that make sense? God wants us to use His power on our behalf. Quit trying to do everything on our own. You know, you can get really tired doing stuff on your own. You can get worn out doing stuff on your own. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Now, we all get physically tired anyway. I mean, it's just part of life. You know, you run on 100 miles an hour for 63 straight days, you're going to get tired, right? But in here, where are we looking to for our strength? Where are we looking to for our direction? Who is our spiritual compass? We are not going to find it around here. We're going to find it when we look up. We're going to find it when we look to the one who's being lifted. Are we lifting Him up? What do we use? Usually our own strength. Who are we fighting? Well, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, we're not even fighting this world. We're not even fighting the things of this world. What we're literally doing is that our struggle's not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, what do we do when we see therefore? What's it there for? Because of what it says, who we're fighting against, we put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, we're able to stand our ground, and after we've done everything to stand, we stand. You know how you do that? You look to the banner. You look to Jehovah Nissi, the one who is our banner of victory, our pole of gathering. Our battles are not against people, but against spiritual forces. And I'll say it till God won't let me say it anymore. The people of this world are not the enemy. What they're doing doesn't make them the enemy. Satan is the enemy. The people of this world are the prize that we are to be seeking after. When they see us attempting to do things in our own power, the evil forces, the spiritual forces, when they see us attempting to do things in our own power, they smile. But when we rally around our banner of victory, they have to run and hide. You know why I believe that the Church of God is not making a greater impact in our communities and in our nation right now? Because we try to do things in our own power. We try to buy things that would make some kind of impact. We try to do things that would make some kind of impact. We try, but we're not lifting Him up. If we lift Him up, then He'll draw all people to Him. All right? Jehovah Nissi, our banner of victory. God's pole, in other words, the rod of God. Moses understood that it wasn't him. There was not one person in that battle that looked up there and said, "Hey, there's Moses. We're going to win." No, Moses had been up there the whole time. In fact, when his hands came down, they started to lose. He was still up there. And Aaron and Hur were still up there. When did they start winning? When the pole was lifted back up. When his hands went up. That's when they started winning again. You see, they knew, they understood that it didn't have anything to do with their prowess at battle. It didn't have anything to do with Moses himself. It had everything to do with who they claimed that they were following, and that is God. Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, look at this. The Lord said to Moses, now, you recall later on that the Israelites started griping again? He did that quite often, by the way. Not that we would ever do that, all right? But they began griping again. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to give you something to gripe about. And he sent poisonous snakes into the camp, all right? The Lord and Moses started praying, God, help us. God always answers people who come to him earnestly and pray. Make a snake, put it up on the pole, on the banner, okay? Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Now listen to me. Anybody who was bitten by a snake and wouldn't look at the pole, they died. What does that say to us? You know what? Whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, whatever our families are facing, whatever our friends are facing, we can know that we have a God that if we will look to Him, He can do all things. He can do all things. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Now, these two verses are right before our famous John 3:16. It says this, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, Jesus said, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. See, folks, Easter is not only about Jesus rising from the dead, it's also about Him being lifted up on a pole where He died for us. And He said, if anybody will look to Me, if I be lifted up, all right? You see that picture? Jesus is the banner of victory. He was also lifted up on the pole, the cross. John chapter 12, verse 32 says it like this, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to Myself. The thing that's keeping people from coming to Christ is that we are not lifting Him up. We're not lifting Him up. You know, we may talk about Him from time to time. We may go to church. And in amongst the other Christians who are here, we might sing songs about Him. But everywhere we go, every place that we serve, every person that we contact, we got to be lifting Jesus up. When our hands come down, Satan begins to win. Isn't that right? We got to start lifting Him up more and more and more. Every name of God is shown forth through Jesus, by the way, because He is the visible image of the invisible God. So last week we talked about Jehovah Jireh, right? Our provider. Well, Jesus is, He provided our salvation, right? He provides our living water to live by, the bread of life. He provided the gate, the way, the truth, the life. He provides everything that we need. So today, Jehovah Nissi, our banner of victory over sin and death, He is high and lifted up. Now see, they could have killed Jesus by shooting an arrow through His heart, sticking Him through with a sword, whatever else. But you know why He was lifted up on the cross? Not because it was just the way Romans treated criminals. He was lifted up on a cross. Why did He come? In fact, why did the Scripture say at just the right time Jesus came? Because God knew exactly what He was doing. And that there would be a time that Jesus would be lifted up on a cross. And God was trying to, again, paint a picture for His people. Look. Look to the cross. Look to the One who's being lifted up. You want victory? There it is. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a what? A banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. In fact, the scripture tells us in Revelation, there will be a sweeping movement of God in the Jewish people. And many of them will be saved. And they will recognize that this one that they didn't know was the Messiah, or they wouldn't accept as the Messiah, is the Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, and then verses 54 through 57. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. And when the perishable has become clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that's been written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our banner of victory. He is Jehovah Nisi. We got to lift him up. Everywhere we go, we got to be lifting him up. You know why? Because it'll draw people to him. It will draw people to him. Father, I pray that we will lift you up, that I will lift you up. Father, I won't hide you away. I won't be ashamed of you. I won't worry about what people think about me. We so often do that. And because of that, our hands come down and the evil one starts to gain ground. Lord, I lift you up right now. You are the Almighty God, Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory, our pole of gathering, our rallying point. We gather around you. We lift you up and we exalt you. And by the way, Father, there was no greater time that Jesus was lifted up than when he was standing amongst those others. And he began to be taken up into heaven with you. Again, being lifted up before all those eyes to see. And one came along and said, "Why do you stand here gazing?" In other words, do what he's commanded you to do. Father, we lift you up. We lift Jesus up. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to continue to look up. The day is coming when again we will see Jesus coming in the clouds.